Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
A few years ago, somebody said, "We've had enough of experts." He's been back in the news, as it happens. I expect many of you may know who I mean, and actually, I don't think it was either helpful or true. We need experts. We need people who really do know what they're talking about. We need surgeons who actually do know what they're doing. We need teachers who know, drivers, planners, logistics people, filmmakers, gardeners, chefs, plumbers, boiler engineers, scientific researchers, politicians, and loads of other people who know what they're doing and can teach others, guide, provide help, or create things that benefit our society and offer expert opinions in their field. Nicodemus was supposed to be an expert in his field. He was a religious teacher. He knew the Jewish law and was supposed to be someone who understood why and what was happening through Jesus and his teaching. And yet, in this passage, he's utterly baffled by what Jesus is saying to him about being born again. It must have been tremendously challenging for Nicodemus to be willing to accept that he didn't understand. In any situation, practical or spiritual, it can be really difficult being brought up short by someone who knows more than we do, when we think we know what we're doing, and take in what's being said and act upon it in order to become better. Nicodemus was speaking to Jesus at night. This could have been partly because he didn't want to be seen as needing to learn from another teacher, and he would be less likely to be spotted at night. But he's especially unlikely to have wanted to be seen going to meet Jesus as a member of the Jewish ruling council when there was a plot by his peers to have Jesus arrested. And as we've already touched upon, he would have been someone who was expected to know the answers to religious questions because of his position, and likely to reasonably expect of himself that he'd know the answers after his hard studying to get to his position. He does recognize Jesus' authority, and yet he's clearly floundering in this encounter. Jesus even comments on this. "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things. I find this meeting really encouraging. Here we have a religious leader who nowadays might be someone who's done all the learning and research and university degrees, a PhD, maybe written a few books, been on thought for the day. And yet when he actually meets Jesus, has no idea what Jesus is talking about. This gives me hope that I may not understand everything about Christianity or God or what faith should look like, but that's okay. We can, after all, only start from where we are. I think it seems a little easier for us to understand what Jesus was saying in verses 5-8 because we've since become more familiar with the image of being born again, not actually meaning a human rebirth, but a birth into a new way of living, a new way of life. This being born again is usually symbolized by baptism, the washing in water that a person undergoes, which shows a mark of a change of direction in living, allowing our old life to die and us to be born into a new life of hope, peace, and good relationship with God and each other, and a recognition of forgiveness, washing away of our sins, and a clean start. We have an advantage over Nicodemus that we know what Jesus was referring to. Also, to be fair to him, he hadn't yet seen that Jesus would die and then rise from the dead 3 days after he was crucified. It's easier to see the symbolism now, that baptism mirrors, to an extent, Jesus' own death and resurrection. Sometimes I wonder what happens to characters in the Bible after we initially meet them. Some we hear about over a few months, sometimes over years of their lives. Many we only encounter once. In fact, we are told a little more about Nicodemus. Later in John, he's recorded as having spoken during Jesus' trial, saying, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" He spoke up, seeking an opportunity for truth at the mock trial of Jesus. Jesus was still crucified, but Nicodemus stood up for what his conscience, or was it the prompting of the Holy Spirit, was telling him in the most challenging of circumstances. His speaking up illustrates the impact his encounter with Jesus' teaching and way of living must have had on him. And later still, we read that Nicodemus was one of the people who took Jesus' body from the cross to bury it. He brought spices to apply to the body ready for burial. So this nighttime conversation when he was trying to understand Jesus did act as part of a profound encounter. Nicodemus wouldn't have got involved with taking down Jesus' body if he'd not been really ignited and transformed by what Jesus had been teaching and the way he'd been living. It was still a risk for him and his position as a leader to stick his neck out and be involved in looking after Jesus' body after crucifixion, rather than doing nothing. I think it's really reassuring that Nicodemus, the religious leader who should know his stuff, really is grappling with what Jesus has been talking about. Here's a man who knows his scriptures, the text he studied, and yet doesn't understand, but he knows he wants to understand more. I think we need to be open to recognizing when we don't understand the Bible or aspects of how we think we should be living and try to find things out. It's so important where our faith is concerned to learn so we can grow. You might be thinking you know enough about Christianity to be able to tick over okay, or that you've heard enough that you'd rather not get too involved in it. Yet I would suggest that you could be missing out. And I'm saying this to myself just as much to everyone here. Sometimes, without being open to things, we don't know what we're missing. Nicodemus was prepared to question, to grapple, to seek to understand. Over the last 8 months, I've been doing something called the Bishop Certificate in Discipleship. The Bishop of Southwark, that is, not the Bishop of Canterbury. It's open to anyone, and I found it a really great way to learn more about Christianity. We've covered aspects of the New and Old Testament church history and what's at the core of what Christians believe. I found it to be really good, and I've even done essays for it, which I've really enjoyed, though you don't have to do them. I'd encourage anyone who'd like to get to know Christianity more to do the course, which will run next in September. Feel free to chat to me or Bridget about it. I know also that James, Cherry have done it too, and probably others who I don't know about. I think learning more about how Jesus lived, what he said, what he did, and that he's alive and present today is utterly compelling. I always want to find out more, but I know that I can so easily become complacent and fixed in my ways and think that I know how God works and that I know how God wants me to work. But really, I want to be ready for the new and the next opportunity to grow in my faith, even if it means exposing myself to lack of certainty and feeling completely out of my depth like Nicodemus did. And God does speak to us if we ask. But we also need to be ready to listen to what is said in reply. I'm going to mention the next verse is about God loving the world so much that he gave his one and only son to allow us to be saved in passing, even though they contain one of the most famous quotes about God's love for us. And the whole of this sermon could instead easily be just on those two verses. They highlight that Jesus came into the world because God loved us so much and not to condemn us. When God speaks to us, as Jesus was to Nicodemus, he's not seeking to catch us out, trick us, berate us for things we may have got wrong or not yet learned. Rather, God understands how we tick, what language we speak and respond to, and what we need. God speaks gently to us, and we can respond if we wish to. We're not made to do anything. It really is a free choice that Nicodemus had, that I had, that you had. After Nicodemus really struggled with the concept of being born again, do you think by his third appearance in the narrative of Jesus' life, death and resurrection, that he might just have been born again? Do you think by his actions it's possible to consider that he was born again? I think this story shows us that God will be working in our lives if we are seeking him. But that sometimes, because things happen often bit by bit, gradually, over time, over years, we might not notice. In fact, I think others notice how God works in our lives more easily than we recognize ourselves. There will be people sitting in this room who've been hearing the voice of God speaking to them, and it may be that this voice has been speaking to you for some time, like a voice inside which is encouraging you to take action, to take a step, but maybe you aren't sure if you're prepared to act on this. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, maybe it's not really God that I can hear. Or perhaps what you're hearing doesn't fit with your existing plan for life. So perhaps that voice, which is nudging you to do something out of step with your plans, is making you a bit uncomfortable, as it just won't seem to go away. Don't tone down this opportunity to listen and act on what God might be prompting you about. Don't ignore it. Don't leave it. Act on it. Last week, we marked Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples for the first time following Jesus' ascension back into heaven. God has new things for us. A new phase in life as individuals, a community, a church of Good Shepherd and St. Peter. New exciting prospects. Scary as it sometimes can seem, are we ready and open to the new? Are we ready for more of the Holy Spirit to be working for good in our lives and within our community? Remember that it's okay and normal to ask questions. Nicodemus asked questions and he was a religious leader. He was willing to be humble and find out and try and understand more. As a result, his attitudes and understanding were changed by his ongoing encounter with Jesus. My prayer for us is that we won't struggle against the good and loving plans God continually has for us, that we will rest in him and see where we can go. So do ask and listen to God's answer. I know I need to be more open to this. Let's let go of what we're clinging to and instead bury ourselves deep in God's everlasting love for us.